So I guess I was given some directions. One is not to make certain people laugh or cry. That would not be a service to my dad, who made us laugh all the time, whether he meant to or not. But I guess my charter is to kind of be the synoptic gospel, and Chris is going to be John, if I got it right. And doggone it, you told me to have a script, and my screen just went blank. So I'm not sure if I'll be giving a true reading of the Gospel of Charles the way perhaps it should be intended. A lot of the stories I'm going to tell you, things I'm going to tell you about his life, I learned not at his feet. I mean, that sounds really biblical. I learned a lot of them in his lap, because we would travel from Houston to Hearn, his birthplace, and I would have my head in his lap, laying across them on a bench seat with no seatbelts, because it was 1965. And he would tell stories of his childhood. And then we got the opportunity to travel a couple times back to Hearn. So now that I've said Hearn twice, I believe, my dad was born in Hearn, Texas, in the family house, in the living room. All of you born in hospitals can now be envious. The doctor, as I understand this from my close, reliable sources, the doctor went about a sack of sugar. So I guess he's what, 8 pounds, 5 pounds, something like that. He grew up in Hearn, a small rural town that the Bradys had a strong presence in Hearn, Texas. His grandfather, Peter L. Sr., had created the electric company in Hearn, Texas. He became mayor of Hearn, Texas, and then sold the electric company to the city. I'll let you all decide how that would play out today. But he was a hero of the city back then. So it's a family that knew the Bradys. And so he grew up in Hearn, went to high school in Hearn, went to school everywhere, not just high school. And as a small rural community, if any of you live in smaller rural communities and your friends play football and basketball and probably a couple other sports, kind of unheard of in the larger places these days, he played all the sports, did all the things. Had a trick knee, which he then, once I had ACL surgery, decided maybe he blew his ACL 50 years previously. But he was not just an athlete, a local athlete, he was, I hate to say this, a straight-A student. A really good student, really good student. While in high school, he came to know the Lord somewhere between junior high and high school. I asked my cousin Johnny about that, and he called his dad because I wanted to know. As I understand it, Johnny's dad, John A., my uncle John A., had talked to my dad about Christ a few times, but he's not sure if he came to know Christ through him or someone else or something else. Jesse came, so it was Uncle John A. first, then his older brother Jesse, oldest brother Jesse, and then Charles, the youngest of the three. If any of you know anything about Dad's next chapter, he went to his beloved Baylor University. Sikkim Bears, I guess is what we say. So that made my dad the only person really happy when RG3 moved to the Redskins, and probably the most distressed individual when RG3 left, because as I understand it, he was a Baylor guy. Dad went to Baylor, where he majored in physics and math. So if you know Dad, that's who he is. I believe his lowest grade one time might have been a B, maybe. Kind of makes you wonder if I really am his son sometimes. And while there, we can neither confirm nor deny, and I have Googled this, and if anybody can find it, other than my daughter Stephanie, who can Google anything and find it, at some point while he was at Baylor, the power went out. It was not Hearn Electric. The power went out, and he opened up the window, yelled out the window, and I'm going to say this in church, so I'm going to whisper it. He yelled out the window, "Panty raid!" And then he tells it, he went to bed and woke up the next morning to the headline, first ever panty raid at Baylor University. And he's like, not sure if I did that or not. I know. That might be the first time it's ever been said in Fourth Church, at least from up here. And I apologize a little bit. While he was there, I guess he did an internship at Sandia Labs or out in Sandia in New Mexico, rocket sled stuff. Because while he was in high school, he heard about this whole space thing, wrote a letter to Wernher von Braun, who wrote a letter back telling him what he could do to be part of the space program. Dad really wanted to be part of the space program. I'm getting ahead of myself. So when he graduated, he applied to work for Sperry Univac. He wanted to see the world. He was a central East Texas boy, and he wanted to see the world. So they said, here you go. You're going to go work in Lincoln, Nebraska on the B-58 Hustler. For those of you who know airplanes, you're going, the B-50, what? It didn't last long, and he lasted even less than that with the program. He traded with somebody so he could go to New York City and work on the Polaris missile program where he could see the world, and he did, because he got to go out on ships and see two-thirds of the world, which is water, but also Jamaica and Haiti and Denmark and a few other places too. So he got to travel the world out of New York City. New York City is an important waypoint, not because it's, you know, New York, and city that never sleeps, but because he met Mom in New York City. And in August of 1960, they were married right about there. For those of you sitting in the way back, you're actually in the parking lot right now, back then. But you know, this is where they got married. And soon after, I guess he moved back, they had a house in Long Island, if I remember correctly, a small place. Then they moved to Texas because Dad started going to graduate school at Rice and worked for NASA. I'm getting the timeline a little mixed up here, but it's okay. It's a synoptic gospel, and I haven't asked everybody, and Q hasn't told me what to say. So, you know, I'm going to get this a little bit off, but let other people correct the record. While there, he was at Rice. Any of you remember firsthand John F. Kennedy's speech? We're going to go to the moon. We're going to do these and the other things. Not because they're easy, but because they were hard. He said that at Rice University. Dad was in the audience. And while at Rice University, Dad made some lifelong friends. Bob Manka, who is Bob here today? Bob Manka, who lives in the area, among others. Peter Timms, who has gone on to the Lord, I believe, already. But most importantly, and I cannot emphasize this enough, somewhere in late 1963, they had me. Sadly, their life was forever changed. Straight A's disappeared off my dad's radar for any of his kids at that point, I think. You know, it was never going to happen again. But for him, it was still there. But so Dad worked on the NASA program. There's no Dad. He worked on the Apollo guidance system. So yeah, every once in a while, I give him a hard time because they tried to land in the rocks on Apollo 11, and he says that wasn't his fault. They went exactly where they told him to put it. And as he was going through that program, he decided by 1968, apparently there was another one on the way somewhere in there, but he moved up to the DC area, that's why we're here, and started working for HEW. Anybody remember HEW, Health Education and Welfare, now part of HHS, but the Indian Health Service. And he did lots of different programs there. It's where I first learned about Wang data systems and distributed computer systems, and how those things work, and he worked on data systems there. But he also worked on the Application Technology Satellite Program, ATS-6. ATS-6 is a satellite that went up to geostationary orbit, did video transmitting from Anchorage, Alaska Hospital to the satellite and back to Fort Yukon and Galena and other outposts in Alaska. My dad was part of the forefront of telemedicine. So those of you now that are thinking how cool it would be if you could have broadband in rural areas, okay, I think it would be really cool to have broadband in rural areas, so we can have telemedicine for aging populations. My dad was working this stuff in the early 70s. Really kind of a cool legacy to have in our family with that. To stick with his working history just for a brief moment, he went from there, a couple things, and then he went back to NASA here at headquarters for a while, and then he worked on Space Station Freedom, which you all are going, that's not the name, it's International Space Station. And quick, little bit political. It was Space Station Freedom. Bill Clinton got elected. It became the International Space Station. We got rid of the shuttle. Russia flies us to the space station. The rest is international history. So that was his work. He retired from there, I think, at age 55, my mom said, somewhere in there. Makes me nervous because I'm 55, for those of you doing the math from 63. But you all know my dad for more of the person that he was. I see faces in here. If I were to ask for hands, many of you know him from the county fair, where he was, and I'm seeing heads nod, he was a fixture at the county fair. He was always helping mom with the canned goods and then later some other things, helping Kathy, helping the wits, designing the databases on a borrowed Apple computer so he could figure out a way to start tracking stuff coming in. I know it sounds like we do that today, every day, right? You know him from the fair. He helped us with our sheep, got him back in the farm life. You know him from church, where he did all the great things you mentioned. Very committed to the church and to the body of Christ. That was his life. I'm going to come back to that at the very end. We know him in part because of the example he set with summer swim team. I announced for summer swim team because my dad announced for summer swim team. I play music at summer swim meets, in part because my dad played the national anthem off of a cassette with a microphone shoved up next to it so we could have the national anthem. I just go a few steps further and play lots of music while people walk back and forth. But he's the one. My dad, some of you know him for his camera that was stuck to his face. And then you know me for a camera stuck to my face. And you know my brother for a camera stuck to his face. And you may know my son, Matthew Darnell, with a camera stuck to his face. Now, he does it with a phone more often than not. It is, after all, the 21st century. But there's so many ways that he touched so many of us in things big and small. And that's why in the last days, all those things, as I understand it, all those things were about him wanting to be active, involved in working in people's lives. And so that's where I learned to be involved with people, to care about people, to work with people, to have fun while we do it, to joke around, to make those jokes that I am proud to say my son makes. And his fiance gives him the same eye rolls that I get, that my dad got. So it's a family tradition there. But it's all because of the connections we have with the people. And dad showed that to me. And that's why, even in the last few weeks, as mom tells it, it's synoptic. As mom tells it, dad just felt like he wanted to still do more for the church, for the people of the church. And mom told him, even as he's laying there, unable to respond, Charles, just by being here in this hospital with the people coming and talking to us, you're allowing Doug and Debbie and my mom and my wife to be the witness for you here in this hospital, to care for the people that are here with you. So, that's Charles Brady, and to put him in, I probably talked too long, but to even put him in what is probably an hour and a half, sorry, I go on for too long, seems somehow wrong. It's too short. 82 years was too short. But that's my dad, and I hope you all appreciated him as much as we did.